What did you study? Passover?
Passover. We read Lanny's letter that I read a long time ago. About Passover.
Is it okay now? Let's go to Matthew 18. No, Matthew 19, I'm sorry. Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, These things have I kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily, verily, I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now this, obviously, is one of the key scriptures, one of three key scriptures that the prosperity gospel uses to justify their preaching. But interestingly, it's also one of the scriptures that the Mormons use to justify multiple wives. And both, I believe, are wrong, obviously, because the 100-fold blessing of wives and children and etc. are the body. But that's not what we're going to talk about. What we're going to talk about is who was this rich young ruler. And let's go to John 11. I believe the rich young ruler was Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. And I think if anybody's interested, we could spend some time later, and I think I can prove it to you. But now a certain man was sick. Now this is the reason we're reading this now is that this was just before Passover. This was when Jesus and the disciples, their base of operations in Galilee was Capernaum, where and they apparently stayed at Peter's house, from what the scriptures say, when they were in Capernaum, and that was their base of operations for when they were in Galilee. When they were in coming to Jerusalem, their base of operations was Bethany. Bethany and Bethpage were the Highland Park / University Park of Jerusalem. They were the suburbs where the wealth of the wealth stayed. Remember that this time, all the Jews knew that this was right at the time that fulfilled the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so there's all kinds of people that had lived in the diaspora all over the world, moved, if they were able, they moved back to Jerusalem because they were anticipating that this was the day of Messiah, the day of Messiah would begin. It's that which is predicted in Daniel 9, if you're interested. And the 70 weeks were over then, exactly. And a lot of the very wealthy Jews lived on Cyprus. Cyprus was like a really neat place to live, obviously. And we know that Mark's parents were from Cyprus. And we know that Barnabas was Mark's cousin, who was also from Cyprus. And they had moved, and Mark's parents had bought this big estate outside of Jerusalem in Bethany. And it was a Sabbath day's, it had to be within a Sabbath day's journey of Jerusalem, so they wouldn't. But anyway, so here they were. They were on their way to Jerusalem, and now let's see what happened. They were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, for his final Passover. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now here we again, we have this. And we can never prove this, but it apparently was this. If a woman was betrothed, and then somehow the marriage didn't work out, then in the custom of the time, she was considered unfit. And there are many people that believe that this Mary, the brother of Lazarus, so they came from a wealthy family, was shunned, and she moved to Magdala, which was the red light district of Jerusalem. And that's where we get Mary. Her last name wasn't Magdalene, it was Mary of Magdala.
So she came from a well-to-do neighborhood to...
And she was shunned because of some reason. There are many reasons that she could have been shunned by, because of the way the Jews interpreted the law back then.
She ended up in poverty?
She ended up as a hooker. But anyway. This is just speculation. Nobody knows for sure, but it looks that way when you put all these things together. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And she was also the first one to see him resurrected. She's the one that said her love is great because she has been forgiven of many. When Jesus heard that, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, there's some ancient commentators that believe that before Jesus would go through what he had to go through on the cross, he had to have this other kind of thing. He had to know, remember, you're never tempted with what you don't have. Jesus had to know that he had the power of resurrection within him in order that he then would be tempted to use it on the cross or in his journey into the underworld. He had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered, and so his whole purpose was to find out what power he possessed so that he knew he could use it, but didn't. Now, you've heard me say many times that Jesus had the power to heal, and he healed a few. Why didn't he heal everybody? He had the power to cure hunger forever, but he didn't. He had the power now to resurrect people from the dead, but he didn't. Why? Because he was about his Father's business, and his Father's business was not what man thinks it is. You ever understand that? All right. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified hereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. Now, some are speculate that he was at Jericho. He was coming from Galilee, and he went to Jericho. Everybody had to go through Jericho when they went from, which was Perea at that time, but Jordan, to get to Jerusalem, because they couldn't go through Samaria. So he instead, in the Jericho wasn't that far away, but he still abode 2 more days, even though he had just promised that the sickness wasn't unto death. I mean, it's so anyway, let's go. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." It's again one of these things. They said, "Why are you doing this?" And then he answers some harebrained thing from their standpoint. He almost never answers the question. He answers the heart. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest of sleep." They knew he was sick, and sleep was always the evidence that healing was on its way in that culture. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then, which is another harebrained thing. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." Now, on the fourth, at the time the belief system was that resurrection was possible for 3 days. But then on the fourth day, the angel of death dropped gall onto the one's lips, and then he stank. And then he beginnings, in the rotting process. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now there's an elaborate ceremony about comforting the, and we won't go into that right now, but there were a lot of people there. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, that's a whole big another thing. She saith unto him, yes, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Now, we have no way of understanding the magnitude of this. And we have no way of understanding what this meant in Christ, in him, in himself, as Son of Man. But when we read further, you'll see that a whole lot of Jews that came to, on this was like, you know, maybe the first of Nisan or the second or third. And then he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. And when he did, That's when everybody threw their cloaks on the ground, palm trees, and sang Psalm 118, which was the acknowledgement that he was Messiah. And then 4 days later, they all either yelled, "Crucified him," or were silent. Now, what I want to get across is how important this was in this whole mystery of God, that Lazarus would be raised from the dead just before his entrance, just before his final Passover. All of the temptations that Jesus had gone through and all the sufferings that he'd gone through up to that time was to find out, was for him to find out what power that he had and what power, therefore, he had to empty himself of. What he endured when he went through the cross in the garden of, first in the Garden of Eden, then when his soul was troubled, then on death on the cross, and we know nothing about what he went through during the 3 days in the grave, but it has to be beyond our comprehension. But can you imagine what his temptation was at every point along the way to use the power that he knew he possessed? But instead, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, so that he only ever and always rested in that certainty of the will of God. Now, this is why I get so upset at people that say, well, they're going to use their talents for Jesus or their talents for the Lord or whatever that. It's not what this is about. It's about us totally emptying at every juncture, putting at every place. No more judging yourself or why is it this way or why is this happening, but always in that moment of total, complete dependence on the Father. And that this. I don't even know how to describe this.
There's a phrase you read a second ago that he said that's like that. He said, he hears me always.
Yeah. But it's so critical that we understand that this is the path that we must take. He is this the way. He is the resurrection. He is the life. We are but the vessels for it. And there's no greater example of this than in this experience with, the Greeks came to see him, and that's when he said, "Father, my soul is troubled." As Son of Man, he said it. He admitted it. There was honesty. "What shall I say?" There was a moment of wondering. "Deliver me from this hour?" "No, for this hour came I unto the world." Now, from my perspective, every single time we come to a place where we are troubled with something, it's the same place that he was in. Can you feel what I'm talking about? And this is the real meaning of Passover. It's for us to understand down to our toenails what faith really means. It's not a commodity to get something done. Faith is this incredible mystery of God by which you learn obedience by the things that you suffer so that you can be of value to God and not of men. Does anybody else see the importance of this other than just me?
Bring on
suffering. Huh?
Bring on suffering.
Yeah, prayer, the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. And that's what's happening to Harry right now. Harry's back in the hospital at Parkland because of he had this swelling in his leg and they were afraid it was a blood clot, and then all hell broke loose with the doctors there. But He was able to get into the emergency room at Parkland. In how long? Record time. They treated him like he was the richest patient in the world and took him through the system.
That's what they do to Shannon.
Yeah.
She just goes right on in.
But please, every next time that you get upset at something or that you get depressed or whatever it is, just stop and think about this. We don't have time now, but it's really important to me anyway that's why I believe Lazarus was the rich young ruler. Anybody? Any response?
Well, just over time. Gary's not here. Over time, you realize, oh, this goes to God, this goes to God. You know, things that you used to not take to Him, you used to handle on your own.
Yeah, but can only happen by the things that we suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the greatest example of that, and you've heard me speak of it so often, but it's because it was so critical in my own understanding, is that I had to ask God to forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. No, that just sounds asinine.
Sounds psychotic.
Psychotic, too. All right, 1 week from today, it was the day that we used to do the skits, but they've been canceled this year.
Oh, I was looking forward to it.
Did I hear that rumble last year?
We have gotten it every year since we began the skits. Take it, big guy.